Welcome to Return to Eden. On our last episode, we had just heard how my hopelessness was about to be intersected with divine hope, and I received healing. I know that our program today will encourage you with my powerful testimony of God's presence in my life. Joining us today, he's back again this week, my incredible husband, Toby Parton.
Thank you. Yeah. Glad to be here.
Also joining us, he is a professional fitness and nutrition specialist, COO of Skywatch TV, and author of the international best-selling book, Time Bomb. Welcome, Joe Horn.
Hi, Cherise.
Hey.
I'm super excited about this week because I know where it's going.
Right?
And I feel like we really
it's the
left
fun
people.
Part.
That's right. It's the good part.
Yeah.
But not without its challenges.
Oh, my word.
But before we dive straight into this week, I just want to take a quick second and encourage people that missed last week to go back to the archives and take a look at Return to Eden. Because what we did, we kind of flipped the script and I started asking you questions
right.
in an effort to give the audience at home that might be brand new to the program an opportunity to kind of learn a bit of your backstory.
Yeah.
Your journey through what was nearly death several
Absolutely.
Times,
right?
Where the doctors had told Toby basically, you know, prepare yourself for the absolute unknown.
Yeah.
We do not know how long Cherise has to live. You were in your early 20s.
Yeah, get my estate in order. Get
your heart is failing almost perpetually yeah. in these episodes that would last almost 24-hour cycles where your heart would race up to, what was it, 80 beats?
180.
180 beats. Per minute,
yep.
and then in the same minute, swoop all the way down to 3 beats
yep.
per minute, which is so close to death,
yeah.
and it would do that up and down,
yep.
and up and down. And they gave you this litany of diagnoses.
Oh, my word.
They sent you home with a monitor kit, brought you back a few days later, and within 1 week of this disruption to your life from having been a totally, what you thought was a healthy young 20-year-old
right.
woman, 5 days after the very first onset of symptoms of dizziness and disorientation and fainting and passing out and Toby rushing you to the ER, you end up with a pacemaker put in.
Yeah, mm-hmm. right.
Now, we teased at the very end of last week's program and you held up for us.
Yeah.
And if you would.
I've got
you
it. Yeah, sure.
She's holding in her hands
Thank you.
The pacemaker
That's
that the
right
doctors
there.
Put in. And you might be wondering, well, now, wait a minute, Joe. There's no procedure where they take pacemakers out. They might deactivate them.
Right,
they might,
right.
But they don't remove them.
No.
Before we get into that, though, so you come out of the hospital with a pacemaker, and the first place you want to go, you tell Toby,
yep.
take me to church. So you
yep.
stop by the house. You're very weak.
Yep.
You just finished surgery. 48 hours
yeah,
before this.
Exactly.
Right.
Sunday afternoon, they discharge you. You go straight home to get into an outfit appropriate for church.
Right.
You went to a church that was holding a revival meeting with Ronnie Webb.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Ronnie.
Bishop Ronnie Webb.
Bishop Ronnie
yeah.
Webb. He shuts the sermon down.
Yeah.
Mid-sermon, he just stops. And Toby tells this way better, mm-hmm. but I'm just recapping here. He basically calls you guys out who were sitting in the very back of the row. You had never met him.
No, had no clue.
He comes up to you. He puts his hand and he points right here over your
right
left
here.
Shoulder,
right
which
there.
He couldn't have known or seen. But
no.
right below your outfit, you had a brand new incision where they'd put the pacemaker
That's
in.
Right.
And he prophesies that God had told him, talking to Toby,
yep.
that God has heard your prayers and that he's going to heal your wife's heart.
Yep.
You guys explode with tears.
Unbelievable.
There's this big moment of joy and thankfulness. You feel like God has heard your prayers.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
Right?
We were
excited. Thought the healing was going to be immediate.
Microwave. Hit the button.
Now.
Yep. Done.
You leave that service with, I'm sure, this massive sense of renewed excitement and hope.
A whole new heightened expectation.
And Ronnie Webb.
Life back.
Had told you this, right?
Yeah.
But then what happens next, you would find out, is not an immediate,
no.
That's right.
spontaneous, instantaneous.
No.
There was a journey yet.
Mm. Oh, my gosh, yeah.
So you leave that church service. What happens next?
Over the next, you know, several months, you know, you think that it's going to be immediate. It wasn't. I keep going back to the doctor. Keep going back to the doctor. I brought one of the medications. This had just come on the market.
Mm-hmm.
This, we had no insurance, paying out of pocket.
That's the actual bottle. That's
this
not a prop. This is the one they gave you. It's still got some pills
yeah.
in it.
That's
it's
right.
got about
right.
$300 worth of medication in it.
Right.
And we were broke. We were poor. poor back then because we had a brand new house and three kids and trying to, he's the only one working. So these were prescribed. It was the next to last step. These were six pills a day, $3 a pill, almost $600 a month back in 1998. Which was,
but when you left that church service, you had such faith,
absolutely,
that this was a done deal.
Oh, we're done. We're done.
Did you stop taking medications?
No.
Did you?
No, we continued. No, because
the healing hadn't happened. Her symptoms continued. She continued to black out.
I got worse.
She continued not black out, but she continued to faint and get very weak, and her heart was still doing these extreme bouncing back and forth. But the pacemaker was catching it, keeping her from blacking out.
Right.
So she wouldn't black out.
So the pacemaker would kick in when her heartbeat would drop
below a certain point. So that wouldn't die.
Yeah, like 30 beats a minute or less. So, but the weakness was there. She could not walk across the room or fold a load of laundry without being completely out of breath.
Yeah.
Just weakened.
It was horrible.
And so we thought, well, Lord, what's going on?
On that note, what's going on, God?
Yeah. I thought you were going to heal her.
You said.
Was there a time, because we're human beings, right? Was there a time for either of you where you received this word from Ronnie Webb, you leave with, you're on cloud 10, the expectation is a done deal.
Yeah.
You're all in. Your faith is at 10.
Yep.
When it didn't happen immediately, was there a moment where you kind of started wondering if maybe the pastor got it wrong, or maybe
January?
Maybe either he had misinterpreted, or maybe
January.
The Lord was
January.
You know, like you said, like what's going on, Lord?
January was written on the slate of my heart because I had a complete meltdown in January.
January of the same year,
after the prophecy, and God was supposed to heal her, and that was September.
October.
And then, it was a September.
It was still September.
And then October, no healing. November, no healing. December, no healing.
So it's like 4 months later now.
And I'm like, God, what's going on? God, this didn't work. And I apologized to Ronnie Webb publicly, but I said, Ronnie missed it.
Mm.
And in my heart, I said, I'm done. It's not working.
Right.
I need a real God. This is what I told God, and I'm still believing in God because I'm still trying to chew him out, right? So I never quit believing in God. I just, my faith was so broken, physically, mentally, spiritually, emotionally, financially, we were wrecked.
Yeah.
The healing wasn't coming. She was as sick as she ever was. Matter of fact, she was getting worse.
Getting worse,
She was getting worse.
They were about to turn my heart off and force the pacemaker to just be my heart. That's how bad it was.
Say that again, though, because I got to make sure that doesn't fly right past people. So now the doctors are telling you it's gotten so much worse.
It's so bad.
They're now telling you they're going to basically just...
Completely.
Your heart's not even worth utilizing at this point. We're going to shut it off.
And make it...
Make the pacemaker.
Be my heart.
I can't
make the
even
pacemaker
imagine.
Control all of that.
And I was devastated.
Oh, I can't imagine.
And we said, absolutely not. It's not going to happen. But in the middle of that January...
Yeah.
When I was just broken. I was so broken. And I said, God, I don't know, but I was very real with God. And I said, God, you promised her a new heart. And if you're not going to give her one, I will. She's going to get her new heart. And I'm trying to chew God out and correct God. Like, who do you think you are?
Mm.
You gave us a promise. Your word is full of promises about healing. God, where are you? I need a real God with real answers for our real problems, and I need it right now. I mean, we are completely at beyond the end of our rope.
Mm-hmm.
And then I just said, it's not working. I'm done. It's not working. I don't need to hear it from another preacher. I don't need to hear it from another pastor. I don't need to hear it from another person. I said, God, I need to hear from you. I need you one-on-one, me and you. And I said, and in my heart kind of turned that day, and I thought, I'm done. It's not working. She's not healed. She's as sick as she ever was.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, I'm done. I'm not going back to church.
And he didn't.
So there was a lot of anger then.
Anger.
Just frustration.
Bitterness. Devastation. And here's what happened, and I'll make it as short as I can. The very same day as I get home from work, I hadn't had a shower, and I can't even remember when. I mean, that's how depressed you get in the middle of these battles. It will take you to a new low to where you don't even care about a shower anymore. I didn't care about combing my hair. My hair was a mess. I had been working all day. I came home dirty. I walked in the house angry. I threw my hat. I remember throwing my hat on the table. There was a deck of playing cards there. I'm playing solitaire. Angry, slamming the cards on the table, and here comes a knock at the door. Charisse is in the back room. She says, "Honey, somebody's at the door." I said, "I don't care who's at the door. I'm not talking to anybody." And they knock again. And she said, "Are you going to get that?" And I said, "No, I'm not going to get that." And I keep slamming my cards on the table. And she goes and opens the door, and it's my pastor and one of our great friends of that church there in Caldwell. They had never been to our house together before, mm-hmm. even though we were great friends. We just didn't get together at the house. They show up the one day that I had decided I'm done. It's not working. They said, "We believe God sent us here. We want to check on you, make sure you're okay. Is it okay if we pray for you?" And I wouldn't even look up at them. I was angry. And I said, "Do whatever you want to do." And I kept playing cards, listening to them, encouraging me and talking to me. They prayed for me and left. My heart changed, and I was ready to try again. God not only is giving her a new heart in the middle of this process, had he healed her on day one, I would have never got a new heart. Right then, God is doing so much more than just healing her heart. He's now working on my heart. And he's realizing I need a transplant. I need a new heart. Uh-huh. And right then, my heart begins to soften and turn back to God. And I said, okay. In the book of Job, it says, "Lord, though you slay me, yet will I trust you." And that's where I had to get to. The results are up to God completely. And Lord, you've done enough for me. If you never do another thing for me, if you never answer another prayer, you've done enough for all of us on the cross of Calvary. I'll serve you the rest of my life.
Wow.
And that's where I had to get to and give the results to God and quit trying to force this healing on my own strength.
It's so easy when things are frivolous and easy and, you know, preach about these things. It's really quite a different thing.
When you walk
When you are smack dab in the midst of the flames.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
And licking at your feet. Yeah. Thank God, though, that they did, you know, come to the house that day.
Thank God.
Toby had...
That they were willing and obedient.
Absolutely. Yeah. Toby's heart had changed. He was going back to church with me and the kids. And he was so excited. He had heard about, like, a healing evangelist that was going to be 4 hours away in St. Louis.
Right.
And he's like, you're going. And here's where the flip happens.
So his heart now is beginning to shift, but only, I just point out, only because of almost maybe a renewed sense of optimism, maybe you can correct me, I'm just trying to paraphrase, but you would not have been open. In the previous Toby's mind, I don't want to hear another preacher.
Right.
I don't want to hear another word.
That's right.
That's exactly
I don't want
to
have a scripture verse thrown at me.
That's where I was at.
So you would never have even considered. But now that you know the Lord is shifting your heart, that's one of the ingredients that makes you open now. You're hearing about this other thing, which was a healing revival or a healing focused revival?
It was a healing service, like a 2-day or 2-night kind of event or whatever in St. Louis.
And but it's like 4 hours away. So the guy that wouldn't even take a shower because he's so over everything.
Right. Is get in the car, let's
now
go.
Now he's got to go to this thing, right?
And again.
That's right. I got a brand new heart. And she didn't want to go.
Oh, then that's
she didn't
want to
go. That's the funny part.
I was like,
flipped.
Nope.
She was like,
just wore out.
She was like, if God wants to heal me, he can heal me
right here.
And I said, that's true.
To meet me.
That's true. But what if God wants to heal you up there?
And so we go.
You don't know that. There's a lot of nuances to how God operates. We don't know.
No, I have no clue. But I wouldn't talk to him the whole way up there. I mean, 4-hour drive is not.
I said, it's okay. You don't have to talk to me. We'll put on some praise and worship music.
Fine.
We'll have a nice little stroll up to St. Louis. It's fine.
So you basically wear her down or something. She ends up agreeing to go.
Yeah. She goes.
I did. Packed the bag. Yeah.
So what happens at this event?
So we get there. We drop our bags at the hotel. get there hours and hours and hours before. Hours before.
This is a large building.
Huge.
Right?
The Kiel Center.
I think 20,000.
St. Louis Blues.
25,000 people. It's huge. It's a massive.
Probably 10,000 maybe?
No, it's 20 to 30. 20 I think. To 30. Yeah, it's huge.
Wow. I gotcha.
But it's big.
It's
massive.
Humongous, right?
So we get there like.
Three. I think it's three.
Long
yeah,
time.
About three.
I'm still hazy. We find a spot all the way down towards the floor before they get to like wheelchairs and, you know, handicap accessibility or whatever.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
We're just going to pray and we're going to read our Bible and, you know,
hang out, watch
whatever. It's virtually empty. And so we're sitting there. And if I need a scripture, you know, and this was back before I had, you know, my Google tube where I could say, where is
yeah.
this, you know, whatever at. So, you know, I always ask him because he can tell me where stuff's at. I got no clue. You know, I'm the fun youth pastor girl. I'm not the I can find it quick girl. That's him.
Yeah.
What I did is I closed my eyes and I had my Bible, New Living Translation, which had just came out the year before. I liked it. And so I sit there and my Bible's closed. I open my Bible and I said, God, here's the thing. You know I don't believe in healing. You know that. But I need something. I need to hear from you. Show me, God. Show me something. Give me some hope. And my Bible's closed. I closed my eyes and I lifted my head and I opened my Bible and just began fumbling and fussing through it, you know, kind of like whatever, and stopped. My finger stopped. And I opened my eyes and I looked down and it was Psalm 6, verse 2. And it says, have compassion on me, Lord, for I am weak. Heal me, Lord, for my body is in agony. I am sick at heart. How long, O Lord, until you restore me? And done, lost it. It was like
just
electricity from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet, and I began to uncontrollably shake.
And I looked. I could kind of see the commotion, and I glanced at her, and I saw a big crocodile tear come down her cheek. And we were sitting on an aisle seat. There was stairs here leading down
right,
to the
right,
floor.
Right.
I was on the aisle seat, and she was right, the second seat in, right beside
sure.
me. And this gentleman come past me, and inside me, I thought the Lord said, get him. He's supposed to pray for her. And, of course, this is 11 months after the pacemaker was put in.
Mm-hmm.
The next year. This is August of 98 now when we're there.
Sure.
So this was my immediate response to the Lord in my own mind, in my own heart. I just said, Lord, I'm staying out of this one because I mess it all up. And my mind is still back to my problem I had in January trying to correct God. I'm
right.
keeping my mouth shut,
you.
Okay? I'm staying out of this. I have no business interfering with anything God wants to do. I don't want to mess it up.
Sure.
So immediately I thought that, and at the very same moment, this young Baptist girl that don't believe in healing, okay, elbows me, wham, and says, get him. He's supposed to pray for me. That was all the confirmation I needed to come flying out
Check.
Of my seat.
Sure.
Running after this guy
uh-huh.
as he disappears into the crowd on the floor because there's this 100, maybe 200 sick people on wheelchairs and beds
yeah.
that are getting prayed for. There was a prayer service going on for hours before the actual church service
right.
started.
Okay, gotcha.
So he's part of that prayer service group that's ministering to the sick, and he's disappearing down there. I run to the bottom of the stairs. This usher steps in front of me and says, sir, can I help you? He won't let me get to this gentleman.
Sure.
And I said, I need that guy. He's supposed to pray for my wife. And the usher says, well, I can pray for your wife. And I said, no, you don't understand. God said he's supposed to pray for my wife. And immediately the usher got offended.
Mm-hmm.
And I did not mean to offend him. And I apologize to him if he's listening today.
Sure.
There was no offense intended.
He may have also been quasi-security, but
sure,
who knows?
Who
right?
knows?
Right.
But
you're some random guy running
yeah.
towards the
he
stage.
He turned
right?
bright red, like Kool-Aid cherry red. Mm. He was immediately offended.
Mm.
And in that two-second interaction, that conversation, somehow, by the grace of God, that gentleman heard me, turns to me, and says, son, come here. Then the usher gives me permission.
Sure.
Okay, So I go down there, and he says, tell me what's going on. And I said, we believe you're supposed to pray for my wife. And he immediately knew. He said, take me to her. God's going to heal her.
I know, right?
I'm telling you. God is way ahead of us.
Sure. All right. Yeah, a little bit.
He already told him. He knew immediately what was about to happen. We didn't know.
Right.
We walk straight to her. He lays his hands on this little Baptist girl that don't believe in the book of Acts or the Holy Spirit or healing. Right?
Just things.
He prayed. I couldn't tell you a word he prayed. But the moment he began to pray for you, she goes out. She blacks out under the anointing. The Holy Spirit just tackles her almost, right?
True.
And she slides out of her seat, and she's on the floor, and the bubble gum and the popcorn and the soda pop.
Which is important because you know how crazy I am with
total germaphobe OCD.
Yep.
You know how dirty and filthy gymnasium floors can be, right? At a hockey center.
She legitimately can't do it, but go ahead.
She cannot do it. So she's squirming and praying and crying and worshiping under the Holy Spirit, the anointing of the Holy Spirit, and she's praying in tongues. And you never heard yourself do that, but I did. And this all happens just like a lightning bolt. Bam. And it's on.
It's happening.
God's healing her instantly, right in front of our face. Completely rearranging the heart, whatever's going on with her health issues.
Right.
And then literally within 20 seconds, you get up, you're back to yourself, you're crying, you're happy, you're ecstatic. How do you feel from that moment forward?
I can remember him saying, after unpacking, you know, what I was healed from, he said, well, do something you couldn't do before. So I kick off my little...
So did you tell him my heart? Or?
Oh, yeah. I told him all the whole deal.
Yeah. With just a few minutes left, though, because I really don't want people to miss this.
Yeah.
So you're at this event. You had this moment for about 20 seconds on the floor with the bubble gum and the popcorn and everything else. And now this man that just prayed over you challenges you, and he says, do something that you couldn't do before.
Yeah.
And what did you do?
Kicked my shoes off. We're at the floor at Kiel Center. Went all the way up to the top. Ran all the way back down. He said, do it again. I went all the way up.
And this would have been unthinkable one hour
before
that. I couldn't
walk across our
small living room. I think there's like 10 flights of stairs, and they're steep, concrete
steps. Yeah.
It's like running, you know, steps in high school when you're in track or football.
Right.
He said, do it again. Boom.
Three times.
Boom. The next day.
Never slowed down.
The next day, he and I go to Six Flags in St. Louis.
Mm-hmm.
I rode every single roller coaster, amusement ride, anything that had a cardiac warning, I got on it. He held my handbag.
And you
would not ride it.
He could not keep up with me. He was like, would you slow down?
What an amazing way to be totally wore out.
It was awesome. It was amazing. God healed her from that day. And I know you don't recommend this, but from that day forward, she was so convinced she was healed.
I stopped.
She never took her medicine.
They tell you not to. The doctors
she
say,
directly,
don't ever.
Yeah, we are not,
no,
we are
not
advising that you suddenly quit your medicine or anything like
my
that.
My faith.
This is what Charisse
yes,
did.
Yes, for me personally,
yeah.
My faith, I quit leaving about $300 worth of medicine in that bottle.
Because I really want to make sure, with just a few minutes left, this is so big. They don't remove pacemakers.
No, doesn't happen.
So how long after this healing, and I know that the details are great.
It's fine.
You're
going
to have to collapse this to basically you had to sign and nag and wear these
people.
Unbelievable. But there were reasons.
Oh, yeah. My body was rejecting.
The pacemaker, your body actually started to reject it.
Yep. My body was rejecting it. I'm in and out of hospitals because of the rejection, not from the heart, but from things
you did
based
like
from that.
A trillion hours of research.
Oh, yeah.
And you had to be able to demonstrate to the doctors that put it in. Look,
there
are actually published peer-reviewed articles by other doctors. It's very hard to find, but here is evidence that others have had them removed because of the same symptoms and had the same gains.
Or similar cardiac materials or whatever. Yeah, I had to be my own health advocate, in this. And then when
and
I
then
did
sign
that,
a stack of papers that high.
This. So I go
when
back.
When you die, they're
not
going to be sued for it.
Exactly.
Right. It was
come
malpractice.
Back.
They were afraid of all that. They said,
insurance.
We don't take them back out.
They don't take them out.
No.
But they done a myriad of tests themselves to see if they could prove that her heart was okay. Yeah. And they did. All of their tests came back and said, we don't understand it.
Had they deactivated it?
They had deactivated it, yeah.
So now it's just the fact that you have just this.
Yep. It's
and
the
it was probably, how many years was it?
It was 5 to 2003. This was a 5-year period that we had to prove to the medical community that your heart was normal. They watched this recording device for 5 years, and at the end of 5 years, they said, okay, the heart's fine. There is no more problems, okay? Right. We've got it recorded. You've never had another episode again. And then that coupled with all of these other extreme symptoms where her body was rejecting it, they said, we never do this, but in your particular case, we see it's your body's rejecting it anyway. It's causing multiple problems. Right. We will go ahead and remove it. And that's it laying right there.
And now you leave it. Where do you leave it? Because I know the answer, but it's very cool. You leave this where?
This is in, I fold it up clearly, and it is in my Bible. At Psalm 6, verse 2, I leave it right there.
As a constant reminder.
Oh, absolutely. And the thing, too, is if anybody does not believe, really? I do.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So save for a Savior, this does not happen.
It does not happen.
How many years ago was that?
2003 was 5 years.
Yeah.
With less than a minute to go.
Yeah.
Going all the way back to that first service with Ronnie Webb.
Yeah.
He speaks over you. God had some more work to do on Toby.
Mm-hmm.
There is this massive journey in between that initial proclamation / prophetic word and then the net result. But Charisse, I've known you for over a decade.
Yeah.
And other than some other digestional things that caught up with you later, which we don't even have time to get into.
Just what I was eating. It wasn't anything to do with,
you know. It was not cardiovascular and severe stress. I know that you had some personal situations with the loss of a dear friend and your...
Yeah.
That all kind of stress, things. Just any normal person can now go through, you know, digestional issues and things. But look, we are completely out of time. There's so much more. We could keep digging the nuggets out. We could keep, but years and years now have gone by, and I think of you as a person who's probably in the best shape that you've ever been in, but you're very cognizant of diet and nutrition.
Absolutely.
That's right.
And it has changed completely the way you live your life and
100%.
The way you eat. You're very proactive now. You don't wait to get sick. You take mushrooms and vitamin C.
Intentional supplementation.
You diffuse at home and essential oils and the whole thing.
The whole thing.
And we're going to go into a lot of that in the weeks to come. I just wanted these initial few programs that we're putting out, I just really wanted the audience at home to get a little taste of some of your backstory. Toby, thanks for being here, man.
Thanks for having me.
I love that you
came. I appreciate it. Love you,
babe. So glad you were here. Ladies and gentlemen, eat better, feel better, live better. I'm Charisse Parton, and we will learn more together next time on Return to Eden.
Millions of Americans are suffering a health crisis epidemic right now, completely unnecessarily. But what if I told you it didn't have to be this way? The truth for many is that the real culprit of modern disease is simply a lack of God-given knowledge. In Unlocking Eden, we provide hopeful, scientifically supported revelations regarding how you can access freedom from the bondages of disease. The Unlocking Eden Special Collection, available now at the SkyWatch TV store online. Order now or call 1-844-750-4985.